Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
There's so much science news, Fred, and especially devastating this week, Hurricane Harvey. We need to talk through that from a scientific perspective. And then, hey, we were supposed to have Jerry Bergman back on today.
Yeah, Jerry Bergman, part two. You already had Jerry Bergman on part one.
Right,
we Darwin, need to wrap that up, but we've got so much news to cover,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, that was Darwin Corrodes Morality. So stay tuned. We'll get to that. He's the most prolific creation writer in history.
Oh, absolutely.
He has over 1,000 papers, articles, and books.
And degrees.
In degrees. He has, what, 6, 7 degrees to his name. So that'll be great to get Jerry Bergman back on. Also, today begins our annual telethon to keep Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio broadcasting for another year.
That's right. This is big. We really need your help. In fact, yes, we have a prize if you subscribe.
A free gift.
A free gift. And this is a great one. Bob Debates the Stars. It's a DVD.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a warning on here. Due to the Hollywood perversion, this DVD is not suitable for children. Unfortunately,
well,
that's a true statement.
I think that's true because this was on ABC.
Yep.
Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. And I was on that show a number of times. Fred, you can't get this anywhere else. That's just here.
You can't. And Jimmy Kimmel was on there.
Jimmy Kimmel, his Jimmy Kimmel Live show. Oh, I got him mad, Fred, on Politically Incorrect.
Oh, I know. I remember what you said to him. You told him that Hollywood really has no more comedians.
Right.
They just have crotch humorists.
Oh, yeah.
And he really took that personal.
Oh, he was angry. I said, Jimmy, you are a crotch humorist. It's all bathroom humor.
Yeah.
It's juvenile, childish.
And didn't you kind of observe that it seemed like he backed away from that stuff?
Well, I don't know. People did call, because I've never seen him, ever.
Yeah.
But Fred, then, I don't know, a year later, they invited me back on. I was on like 6 times. And here in the green room, here's Jimmy Kimmel again. And we get out on the show. This is on ABC nationwide. And he says, why do I have to come on the show with this guy? And I said, well, you're a crotch humorist. I got to be on the show with you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Larry Flint was on there.
Oh, I was on once with Larry Flint.
And Donny Osmond.
Yeah. Martin Short.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson and a bunch of others. So anyone who donates to the telethon to help us stay on the air, either $100 or more, or subscribes to any of our really important resources, we mail them out every month. Bible study videos, sermon audio. We have our televised classics when BEL was on TV. And we have our Bible study audio. So there's many choices, our monthly topical videos. So if you subscribe or you give $100 or more, then we'd love to send you as a gift Bob Debates the Stars DVD.
Yeah, that's great. And Bob,
yeah,
we don't have a mega church behind us, and we really do need the help. The radio station doesn't pay us to do the show.
No, not at all.
We have to pay them
for
the airtime.
It's quite a budget. We have 3 offices here at the Real Science Radio Studios, and we have a staff and all the expenses that any business would have, and it comes from the audience, the revenue to keep this going. So getting the resources, sharing them with others, making donations. Some people make a regular monthly donation, and that's automatic. That's really helpful. And that's how we stay on the air. Really, it's the monthlies. We call them the monthlies.
Monthlies, yeah.
So folks could call 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online to rsr.org and click on the store.
Yep. So we've got so much in the news, Bob. This
not only the hurricane, which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to the hurricane. There's so many things. I mean, just today, there's an asteroid flying by the Earth. It's pretty close.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna talk about asteroid Florence.
Yep.
And what we know about it that the mainstream media doesn't seem to know. They seem to incorrectly describe this thing. It's big, too. And then there's a cancer drug. Here at Real Science Radio, We've been on the cutting edge of reporting the cancer treatment revolution with targeted antibodies. Brand new, FDA approved, an amazing drug for children suffering from leukemia. It's just thrilling. We'll talk about that.
Yep. And 3,700 years ago, trigonometry in Babylon was so much better than our trigonometry.
Wait a minute. Wait, they couldn't have had trigonometry back then because the Greeks invented trigonometry.
Oh, yeah, and they couldn't have had it back then because they were dumber than us. Right. You know,
they were cavemen evolving, dragging women around by the hair.
Yep.
So, yeah, it turns out another case of the genius of ancient man. We'll talk about that. And, Fred, that also supports our explanation of the original 360-day year.
Oh, it's really cool how that ties in.
And the sexagesimal number system that the Babylonians used. It's all
amazing.
That'd
be 60.
Base 60. That's right. And what else is in the news? Oh, then we got a couple programming notes.
Yeah, we do. RSR now has a Yellowstone video. You narrate that really well, and you look really cool in those sunglasses.
Thanks. And it's only 3 minutes long. It's on the petrified trees.
Sums it up really
well.
And
again, we're going to talk about all these things. We're just given a list of so much to do. Then we have an updated section on our website, rsr.org, on polystrate fossils. That's so important. What else has been in the news we haven't talked about yet?
Well, there's something that doesn't happen all the time, at least this close to us, and that was that solar eclipse. And you got to see totality.
Yeah, we had an RSR trip out to Nebraska. Bunch of us went.
I heard that was the best place to go, at least in our, you know, close to Colorado.
Traffic.
People who went to Wyoming took forever to get home.
A 2-hour drive from Cheyenne to Denver was 9 hours. Yeah, that was rough. But we had a tremendous time. And I called in to a secular radio station on the drive back. They're talking about the eclipse. The host is an atheist. And so we're going to air that audio for you. And when we get to that, later in the show.
That'll be cool.
And then, is that it? Is that the end of the
news? Well, it isn't, because just a couple days ago, I'm watching the news, and they're showing this dinosaur dig at a construction site in Thornton.
Right down the street, up the street from Real Science Radio, Thornton, Colorado.
The construction guys kind of, it's like, hey, this is weird. This is different.
Yeah.
And luckily, they didn't just keep digging and hammering and, you know, cutting away.
With bulldozers, because it was a dinosaur. It is a dinosaur.
It is a dinosaur. It's a triceratops.
Yeah, so we'll have to talk about that, the email we got about that. So, okay, let's go back to the hurricane. Now, so devastating. More than 30 deaths. We just aired our series, Fred, Did It Rain Before the Flood? That ties into Hurricane Harvey.
It sure does, because before the flood, you know, and that what a great series that was, and I highly encourage listeners to go. You know,
three-part series, Did It Rain Before the Flood?
You can go stream it on rsr.org. So, Bob, did we have natural disasters like this hurricane before the flood? Because the earth was different before the flood, right?
Yes, right. Dramatically different. And we pointed out that not only were there no natural disasters before the flood, but specifically, we explained why there were no hurricanes.
Yeah, and it's the science behind it. The Earth rotated slower, right? It wasn't spinning
slightly more slowly.
Wasn't spinning as fast.
360-day year.
Yeah.
So 360 rotations on its axis for once every orbit around the sun. That means it spun more slowly, so the winds didn't have the opportunity to start in that spiral direction, the Coriolis effect.
Yeah, and speaking of winds.
Yeah.
You know, the winds are caused by temperature differential.
Yes.
And we would have had a more stable, more consistent temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Good science behind
that. Amazing reasons why it did not rain before the flood, and why there would not have been hurricanes, because God made the earth as a perfect paradise for man to live forever. Mm-hmm. It's because we rebelled, and then all the ecosystems that God made on the earth, they're all symbiotic. They all interact with one another. They interrelate. And as a result of man's sin, then the curse came upon the whole cosmos.
Yeah, the earth is growing old, kind of like a garment, right?
It
says that in the Bible.
Exactly right. One other minor point about the hurricanes, you know, in the northern hemisphere, they spin in one direction. Mm-hmm. In the southern hemisphere, they spin in the opposite direction. So they're counterclockwise up by us. So if you look at a satellite map of Hurricane Harvey in the Gulf, it's spinning counterclockwise. And the reason they spin in opposite directions is because of the physics of a gas. If you have gas on the surface of a spinning sphere, It will begin to spin like a spiral, like a hurricane, but in opposite directions on one side of the sphere and on the other side, one hemisphere and the other. So for the flat earthers, the goofballs.
Yeah.
And for
led
those,
by an evolutionist, by the way.
And yeah, that's right, a Darwinist, who's the head of the Flat Earth Society here in the U.S. And for those geocentrists who think the Earth doesn't spin, well, if the Earth didn't spin, then we wouldn't have hurricanes rotating in opposite directions in the northern hemisphere and the southern.
Now, is it true that when you flush a toilet, it spins the opposite directions on either?
Fred, I don't think that's true. Okay. I think, but you know, I haven't looked. I mean, I've been in New Zealand. When we went to New Zealand for a week, it was to protest Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Fred, what a time we had. We were in the entire media, their TV, radio, newspapers. Here's a big two-page spread, page two and three, Bill Clinton in New Zealand. And a quarter page at the bottom of page three, 10 Americans in the country with signs saying Bill Clinton is a rapist, just marring his whole trip.
Yep.
And urging him to repent, which
absolutely.
He hasn't done so
nope.
far. Okay, so, Fred, there would not have been hurricanes before the flood. Something else about this hurricane that happens every time there's a natural disaster, Christians so flippantly will tell people, God targeted Texas with Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah.
And think about what they're saying. All these people who died, did you see the report of that 18-month-old girl who was clinging to her mother?
Oh, yeah. That was so sad. They were at a department store or something, and she got out of her truck to try to get away from the floodwaters, and she, you know, perished, and the daughter clung to her back.
Yes.
She's floating upside, you know, floating on her stomach.
They were in a parking.
And they barely rescued the baby.
Yes.
And, you know, and they were able to retrieve the woman, too, not able to revive her, but they almost went over this ravine where they couldn't have got, the boats couldn't have gone to get them.
Yes, so.
It was really close.
They were right off of I-10 in a parking lot. Her car is stuck. She's worried. The current's increasing. It's going to take them and the car away. So she gets out of the car with her daughter, and sure enough, the currents take them away. Oh, there's witness to this.
Mm-hmm.
The currents take them away, and the little girl is clinging to her mother. Her mother drowns, and a rescue boat with first responders, fire, and police, they get there. They pull them both into the boat, and like you said, the mother did not survive, but this little girl, she's in stable condition. And so it's also devastating. You know, the Bible teaches us that it's not true that God's always in the earthquake. God's always in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
God's always in the whirlwind. It's not true. He's in the still small voice.
Exactly.
So there were times when God brought very specific judgments. There were times.
Mm-hmm.
But it is wrong for a Christian to speak on behalf of God and attribute to God things that the scriptures indicate to us that God did not do. Like Jesus got mad at the Judeans when a tower in Siloam fell, killed 18 people. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, in the Gospel of Luke.
Yep. They're like, "What? These must have all been sinners."
Yeah, these were the worst sinners, and that's why they got... And Jesus, I tell you, no, stop saying
exactly.
That's superstitious. It's spiritually immature.
Well, it's almost as bad as that clown professor in Florida that said that the hurricane was the result of people voting for Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, karma-wise.
Yeah,
what an
right.
idiot.
Yeah, idiots. Well, how about that liberal who said there was an earthquake? I forget, maybe in Italy. He said it was because of global warming.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're saying that about this hurricane.
Right. When
global
we didn't
warming.
Have hurricanes
CNN and,
in what, about 12 years almost? No hurricanes?
Yeah, this hurricane was worse because of global warming, according to the CNN and Politico.
This was a record in history for America. No major earthquake making landfall in almost 12 years. And now we got a big hurricane.
Yeah,
that's the way
yeah. Washington
weather
Post,
happens.
Their climate expert said it's global warming made it worse.
Of course it is, right. And all the satellites are wrong with their temperature data.
Yeah.
That's what they think. Believe us, not the temperature.
And that NOAA scientist had said, oh, you know, they cherry-picked the data from near the boat when they're measuring seawater temperature instead of ones at the buoy. Of course, the temperature is going to be different. This guy blew the whistle,
this has happened
matter.
So many
it's
times.
It's a religious,
the
political.
Data. Yeah.
Yep.
And you said this NOAA scientist. I thought NOAA died like a long time ago. Oh, they call him NOAA, don't
yeah.
they? all over the world and all through history. Noah gets a lot of credit. Boy, for a guy who never existed, he really gets
It's like
a lot
scientists all work for Walt Brown, and we'll talk about that later.
Exactly. And they all work for NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I mean, it's so fun, isn't it, that the Bible explains our culture, our history, our past, and where we're headed.
Yep, it's really cool.
Okay, so next news item is the asteroid flying by the Earth today. This is big news.
Yeah, they call it Florence. It's about 3 miles in diameter.
Yeah, a little less.
It's huge.
Fred, that is so big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So, Bob, we've made a past prediction related to this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Walt Brown.
Yeah, because
has.
Of Walt Brown's model that the debris from the fountains of the Great Deep, much of it reached escape velocity, broke out of Earth's gravity, and that debris became those errant bullets in the solar system, those dangerous things like meteoroids, asteroids, comets. And much of that debris, when it was out in space, it began to attract itself by its mutual gravity, forming asteroids and comets.
Yeah, cool.
And so Florence is really coming back home. I mean, thankfully, it's not coming all the way back home.
Oh, man. Yeah,
like
that
some
would not
meteorites,
be good.
Meteorites do. But almost 4.5 million miles away, it's about 20 times the distance of the moon. So since NASA has been tracking these near-Earth asteroids, this is the largest asteroid at this near distance. So it's
pretty big.
Yeah. And it might have, because of our understanding of how asteroids and comets formed, it may have a moon in tow. Now, we know that asteroids have moons.
Yeah.
But we have been predicting that a higher percentage of asteroids will have moons than is generally assumed or has been identified so far. In fact, it might have a couple moons or even a debris field around it.
Yeah. So it's going to be real exciting to see what that's all about.
Yeah. And it might be too far away to see that 4.4 million miles.
Yeah. But you know, the media is reporting it as one big boulder, right?
Oh, yeah. One giant space rock.
Yeah.
And we know that it's really almost certainly millions of rounded boulders about the size of a car.
You know, the European Space Agency just landed on one of these small pieces of asteroid.
Asteroid 67P. Mm-hmm. And their photos showed, in fact, they freaked out and they called them dinosaur eggs. It's made up of millions of rounded boulders. And how do you get rounded boulders in deep space? Well, you get them from a flood.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
So the water coming up from 60 miles below the surface of the Earth and the chunks of the crust of the Earth breaking off and rolling as they're violently coming up to the surface, and those that shot out and beyond, millions of them together swarmed and became, along with water, ice, and debris, dust, became this asteroid Florence.
It's interesting how, you know, it's natural, but using gravity, this stuff coalesces. That fire ant thing was pretty interesting in the Houston hurricane.
Oh, boy.
A huge fire ant.
Fire ant islands.
Island.
Yeah.
Huge.
Right, they do
that. They come together and they float around. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be out in my rubber raft, you know, run into one of those things.
No, or just wading through the water.
Oh, yeah.
You could die. Those things are dangerous. And people wonder, why is there so much in nature that is deadly if God created a perfect earth?
Mm-hmm.
It's because the perfect earth has been marred by sin, and it's been deteriorating, including with genetic decay, and as a result, species and ecosystems have broken down and they've become predatory, and many things therefore are dangerous or even lethal, but it was not so at the beginning.
Yeah. And you know, if you go back 100 years, our IQ was higher than it is now.
Wow.
And even go back to Neanderthal.
Yeah, exactly.
And the IQs were higher.
Yeah.
And that plays into a story we have coming up on the whole trigonometry thing in Babylon.
Oh,
they had
yes.
a better version of trigonometry.
They were more brilliant.
They were.
Ancient man.
We need to switch our trigonometry to their easier method, their base 60 method that you mentioned earlier.
Yes, in fact, Fred, they beat the Greeks to trigonometry by 1,500 years. So the history books have to be rewritten.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened time and time again. Fred, calculus, we're told, you know, invented by Isaac Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Babylonians had calculus.
Yep.
They had the Pythagorean theorem. And now they knew the period of Mercury's orbit in 2000 BC. This is all astounding. And now the latest news out just this past month, the Babylonians had trigonometry. And not only did they beat the Greeks to it by 1,500 years, because the ancient man was brilliant, but according to the journal Science, it was even more accurate, more precise than our modern trigonometry.
Yeah, again, because of the base 60 system.
Right.
And it so elegantly ties into the whole 360-day year thing, right?
It does.
It's amazing.
And I love that word elegant because the ancient world around the world, as we've documented at 360dayyear.com, they used the 360-day calendar. Even though they knew it was wrong, they hated that it was wrong. They they acted as though the extra 5 days were not part of the year. Sorry, they're not part of the year. Because they had a collective memory that the calendar had been 360, and every month was exactly 30 days with a perfect
lunar
orbit. Yes. And then, just like language was confused at Babel, the calendar was confused as a result of the global flood.
Yeah, it makes it harder for us computer programmers having to deal with the leap year. And not only the leap year, but the leap seconds.
Oh, right. And, Fred, that's just with our own calendar. Then, as a historian, so many other fields, disciplines, then you have to relate our calendar to the other calendars in use around the world and through history. It is wildly complicated, whereas God made the earth, we'd all have one language and one calendar. You look up at the sky at night, you'd know what day of the month it is.
And if it wasn't for the flood and the earth losing a little bit of mass and losing a little bit of spin,
the ejection,
we would have never had the Valentine's Day massacre bug where I worked at this GPS company.
Oh, really?
It all had to do with the calendar.
Isn't that something? Yep. The Valentine's Day, what?
The Valentine's Day massacre bug is... Well, we coined that thing because it could only happen in February, and boy, did it happen in February.
Wow. So to find out more about that, there's a couple ways to do it. You go to rsr.org/genius to learn about the genius of ancient man. What a fun show that was, and what a written show summary. It's the opposite of what the evolutionists say. We're not advancing. We're getting dumber, and we've been getting dumber for thousands of years.
Yeah, and what people need to understand, too, because when you say that, it's like, well, what about, we've got so many wonderful things
now. Cell phones.
Well, it's because of the knowledge has increased, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
We haven't gotten smarter.
Right, so we're accumulating knowledge, but we're deteriorating intellectually.
Yep.
Yeah, they used to memorize the Iliad and the Odyssey, and that's, you know, that's the way. They didn't have printing presses.
Yep.
Their intellectual capacity was extraordinary. We're told we only use a small fraction of our brain, so then why would Darwinism produce the brain? That's another. I mean, everywhere you look, Darwinism fails.
Yep.
Everywhere you look. But God made Adam and Eve brilliant. It's hard for us to comprehend today their degree of brilliance. So the trigonometry in Babylon, it's another example. And you said, we said it's more accurate than today because their base 60 system is divisible by three, think triangles, and therefore it was exact. It's not like our trig tables that are estimates.
Oh, yeah.
Because of base
10. I remember those things.
Oh, and so when they architected canals or palaces, their trigonometric calculations were exact.
They were exact.
So cool.
And they would have used them exactly in what you said, their buildings, canals, all that stuff.
Yes, right. So, Fred, big news in the medical front.
Yeah, so speaking of the accumulation of knowledge, they've done a lot of great work, scientists have, on this whole cancer-targeted antibodies, menu therapy, you know, using your immune system to fight cancer.
It's so fabulous. And, you know, a half century ago, they knew this was a possibility, but the Darwinian bias that our body is just all kludged together by mistakes, and so therefore, don't put too much faith in our immune system.
Unbelievable. But, it's so all the bad medicine that's come out of Darwinism.
But now, after the lessons learned over the past decades, slowly because of the bias against the immune system and for radiation therapy, chemotherapy, right? Radioactivity, poison. But and even though they're getting pretty good at some of those after all these decades and so many people dying, but now they realize that using our own immune system is the ultimate cancer treatment, even cure. Oncologists are using the word cure. And now this week, the FDA has approved a targeted antibodies drug for children suffering from leukemia.
And it's had quite a success rate, right?
Oh, yeah. From the studies leading to this drug now being on the market, I think there was, 65 children, advanced sufferers. And the remission rate was up in the 80 percentile.
With this treatment.
And these were all kids who were going to die soon.
Yeah. So this is in the advanced state. So imagine early on using these antibodies.
And that will happen
treatments.
Eventually. Now it's so early in this new field, they're afraid to give it to people who are just diagnosed. But eventually that will happen too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fred, we have made a prediction. RSR.org/predictions. We have had so many science predictions come true. And back in March of this year, we made a prediction about cancer mortality in America. Right now, it's the number two killer in the U.S. And the fifth leading cause of death is stroke. So the prediction based on our early and continuous reporting on this revolution in cancer treatment is that cancer deaths will drop below stroke as leading cause of death by the year 2025. That is a huge prediction from 600,000 deaths earlier down to less than 130,000 deaths. So we'll find out. But now this drug is on the market. Others are on the market right now. Just go to kgov.com/targeted antibodies. You can find out about all the drugs that are currently on the market, all the trials that are currently underway, and the phenomenal success so far of these trials.
Yep. So, Bob, our next thing is, again, we mentioned it earlier, a three-minute video that's been published on YouTube.
Yes.
On the RSR Yellowstone sign.
Yes.
That for years misled the public about these petrified forests being buried over millions of years.
Yeah, for decades, Fred, they showed these petrified trees there and claimed that they were standing where they grew and that there were dozens of layers of strata all in this one area in Yellowstone, Specimen Ridge, and that therefore these trees represented hundreds of thousands of years of Earth's history, which would falsify the Bible. Problem is, they knew the whole story was false because the trees had no root systems.
Yeah, so they were transported there. They didn't grow there.
Yeah,
they didn't have a root system.
They were knocked over in a catastrophe, floating, got waterlogged, and sunk vertically. And they were deposited, or they sunk at different rates, into the sedimentary layers forming under the floodwaters.
Yeah, we actually had a modern-day test laboratory, Petri dish, whatever you want to call it, called Mount St. Helens.
Right.
Where that actually happened.
Same thing happened, and a geologist named Dr. Stephen Austin figured out that what's going on here with these upright floaters sinking to the bottom of Spirit Lake, that's what happened at Yellowstone.
That's right. And speaking of Dr. Steve Austin, he's going to be at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship
next Friday
September
night.
8th. September 8th. Yes, Friday 8th. Night at 7 p.m. Yes. Go to youngearth.org to find out how to get there.
He's also going to be at the university.
Here. Yeah, University of Colorado, CU Boulder.
Wow.
At 2 o'clock. And you can find out more about that at denversocietyofcreation.org. Judy Hennessy's doing a great job running that organization.
Yes.
And so go there for details. He's also speaking at a church that Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So again, go to denversocietyofcreation.org for details.
Okay, fabulous. So, and I'd like to go hear him up at CU. You know, Antifa might show up. The fascist, anti-fascist, they show up everywhere.
Yeah, the liberal media has no problem with them.
Fred, the video we put up on Yellowstone, it's only 3 minutes long, and it tells that whole story we just told. And finally, Yellowstone took down their misleading exhibit. So we tell that story and how Real Science Radio had a hand to play in getting them to remove the video.
Yeah. So go to RSR.org and go to the YouTube channel and you'll see this. It's
so
really cool.
That's pretty cool. Now, our YouTube channel is up to about 300,000 views. That's encouraging. Hopefully, it'll continue to grow. So far, people, friends, and strangers have spent 29,000 hours watching our Bible-based educational videos on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and there's a listener from
29,000 hours.
29,000,
yeah.
Including a listener from Hamburg, Germany, who just downloaded the full flood video.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Really encouraging, right? When people around the world mm-hmm. are learning about the Bible and God is our creator from Real Science Radio. Well, Fred, because our telethon is underway, our goal is $30,000. People donate. We know from past years, they sometimes will donate. They'll say, I want this to be automatic every month, $30, $50. Some people might do $100. Other people, one-time donation. Others will subscribe to a monthly Bible study, monthly sermon videos, maybe our monthly topical videos, the old televised classics, the Bob in Your Life TV show. Mm-hmm. That's how you and I met, basically. So with all that, that's, you know, wonderful ways to help us stay on the air. But we thought of another way, and this would be if one of our listeners who was wealthy wanted to underwrite the flood video to go online for free for anyone to watch the full-length video. So we get revenue from selling that thing, Blu-ray, DVD, downloads, mm-hmm. and streaming. That's all ways that revenue comes in every month. But if someone wanted to, picture that being available to anyone in the U.S., around the world, free of charge, the whole thing. 3-hour length science and Bible presentation to bring people to the Lord and to affirm the to bring people to the Lord and to strengthen the faith of believers. So we think that we could get for that video about 20,000 views in a relatively short amount of time. So imagine the Pepsi Center downtown.
Yep.
We've got the Avalanche.
20,000. Yep.
Right? We got the Avalanche playing down there.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine
the Nuggets.
Filling in the Nuggets. Got to mention the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Filling that place up to capacity for a Friday night for a 3-hour seminar on the Bible, God, science, and the global flood. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be cool.
So to help Real Science Radio stay on the air for another year, if an underwriter could step forward with a $10,000 donation to the show, then we would put that entire video on our YouTube channel, on Real Science Radio, and people around the world. We know we have a track record. We're up to now 300,000 views in a total of 29,000 hours. And we have that from Google Analytics mm-hmm. for our YouTube channel. So this is a way, and that would basically come to 50 cents a person. Imagine, you know how wealthy people will sponsor events to share the gospel, share creation with the public, and it costs a fortune to do something like that at the Pepsi Center. Well, this would be to actually get somebody in the seat, it'd be 50 cents a person for 20,000 views of our global flood video on the hydroplate theory, the book of Genesis, all the scientific evidence for God as creator, and for the judgment of the whole earth. In the global flood. So that's a way, a dramatic way, a significant way to help with our September telethon. Imagine that. We would be 1/3 of the way toward our goal.
That would be awesome, Bob.
Yeah.
So
I hope and pray.
So you were up in Nebraska a couple weeks ago
yeah.
for the total eclipse.
Yes.
Totality. So
yeah.
How was that? I only got the 90%, 92 point something percent in Longmont.
It surpassed expectation.
Because I'll be honest with you, it kind of was under expectation.
Disappointing.
If you don't do the totality.
It was interesting. If you stayed in Denver, you could tell that it was not as bright as a normal day.
And the temperature dropped a little bit. You could tell that.
Maybe 5 degrees or so. But it wasn't even like dusk. Or dawn.
No.
It was like maybe in the summer, maybe 6 o'clock at night or something at noon. So we were at Maranatha Bible Camp. We had basically a Real Science Radio science excursion. And at 93%, it was awesome. But we said, this is what it's like in Denver.
Yeah.
And this is all it's going to be. This is it. I mean, it's cool, but you can't even tell it's an eclipse. If you glance up in the sky, you're only going to see the sun. You're not going to see that it's 93% covered because of the way it all works.
Yeah. So, you know, they say you can take a picture of it with your cell phone. You know, I put it in selfie mode.
Yeah.
But it just looked like the whole sun.
It looked like the whole sun.
It didn't work.
Oh, right. So that last 7%, when totality hit, Fred, you could hear people hooping and hollering. We were at a lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
It was extraordinary. It surpassed expectations. It was exhilarating. People across the country not all, but so many were thinking about God, the creator, mm-hmm. who put this diamond ring up in the sky.
Yeah.
It was beautiful beyond measure, beyond description. It was sort of like the difference between 93% and totality was like swimming in a nice pool versus swimming in the ocean. That's the difference.
Wow.
That is the difference.
Well, you know, they got another one coming in 2045, and it'll be near Castle Rock. And I'll go down to that one. I probably won't be able to see by then. But, you know.
Right. But wait, Fred, in 7 years, I think you and I should go together.
Well, maybe there is the one that's going to be down in near Texas.
From Mexico through Texas, Indiana, up to the Northeast.
Okay.
That's going to be totality right through Indianapolis.
Okay. That might be, yeah, that would be worth it.
We've got friends asking us to go here and there around the country. And already in Indianapolis, they've asked if they could book a Real Science Radio Science God and the Bible event for the eclipse.
Oh, that'd be cool. Well, we're there.
So
7 years. Put it on your calendar.
It's already on my – it's on my calendar.
Yeah, it's in the solar calendar. I mean, calendar of the heavens.
Yeah, because these are natural events, natural events. And there's been how many total eclipses since the Lord was here? Yeah, there's about one every 18 months or so. What is that, 1,400 total eclipses since the Lord came. And people who live in America, they say, oh, this is a sign of the end times.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's in America. Yeah. It's not in Jerusalem. Amazing. It's not in Judea. It's not in Galilee.
Yeah.
It's here in North Platte, Nebraska.
Yeah.
North Platte is not in prophecy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Christians, oh, we lose credibility because unbelievers listen to us and they realize, oh, the blood moons, that was just normal stuff. And here we still are. We still are here. So the Lord is returning. But it doesn't justify interpreting every event as end times prophecy.
We shoot ourselves in the foot way too often.
We do. So on the drive home, Cheryl and I were coming down I-76, still in Nebraska, and I tune in KHAL Radio, one of our competing stations. Now we're on a 50,000 watt station, AM-670, low on the AM dial, the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. And we praise the Lord for that. It's such an honor. We're so thankful. But KHAL Radio, it's pretty powerful. And Ross Kaminsky, popular talk show host, mm-hmm. he's an atheist.
Yep.
Talking about the eclipse. He went to Nebraska also to see it. So I got to call in.
And we're going to hear that now.
Where were you for the eclipse yesterday? And how was the experience? Did it live up to your expectations? Let's start by talking to Bob. Hey, good morning, Bob. You're on with Ross. Where were you?
Hey, Ross, we're still in Nebraska, headed home. We saw the eclipse on the lakefront, the leading diamond, the trailing diamond. It was all brilliant. It surpassed expectations.
Were you at Lake McConaughey or a different lake?
We were at Maranatha Bible Camp.
And
it's a gorgeous lake.
And where is that? I don't know Nebraska very well, but is
10 miles east of North Platte.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you go into it with very, very high expectations or?
Yes, of course we were. And it was beyond that. And I'd like to suggest a topic for a future show, a follow-up show.
Sure.
There are many physicists, even atheist physicists, who talk about the apparent fine-tuning of the universe, including the fine-tuning of the Earth, the solar system, the sun-moon-Earth system. And the eclipse gives us an example of that. Because the sun is about 400 times further away than the moon, and it's about 400 times the diameter of the moon. And it's because of that incredible ratio that we could see a perfect solar total eclipse. Of all the other moons in our solar system, there's over 170 that NASA counts. Not one produces a total solar eclipse. And the only one that happens is on the only planet that has observers to learn from it and to enjoy it.
Interesting. Is that right? Not one produces an eclipse, or not one produces an eclipse with the effect where it's almost the same? The moon
latter.
Appears to be almost the same size as the sun.
The latter. Not one produced the total solar eclipse. So if you were to hold a BB in your hand, a foot from your eye, and take a 6-foot beach ball and put it 400 feet down the beach from you, that's the ratio where the BB would cover up the ball. And that's what it's like with the moon and the sun. The precision is is extraordinary.
So, okay, so as long as we're going to delve into a little philosophy and almost religion here for a second, Bob, does that strike a chord with you? Does it make you feel like maybe there's some, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, consciousness or something?
Yeah, that there's a designer, because that, of all the extraordinary examples of fine-tuning in the universe, from physics to biology, that is one of the least amazing. And they are truly, truly amazing. And so even astrophysicists like Stephen Hawking has said, he wrote, the remarkable fact is that when you look at the numbers, they appear to be finely adjusted. And there are dozens and dozens of extraordinary coincidences that you have to believe in if you don't believe in a designer. So a follow-up show on the alleged fine-tuning of the universe would be extraordinary, because most people haven't even heard, with the eclipse, most people haven't even heard what makes the moon perfectly cover up the sun, that if the sun is 400 times further away, and the moon is 1/400 the diameter of the sun, approximately.
And we actually, Bob, because you know we're way ahead of the curve on this show, I actually mentioned that on this show last week. Awesome. I think I only mentioned it once, so you might not have heard it, but I did mention it. And I think it's an interesting time. So you and I are, let's say, of different views on the issue, but I do think it would be an interesting discussion. I like the idea. I could get someone on the show who wants to argue that this shows some kind of design, and I could get someone else who says it doesn't. And I do think that would be interesting, and I will try to get that done.
Russ, real quick, two things about the sun.
Okay.
The sun's rotation on its axis is tilted from the ecliptic. All the planets orbit around the sun on the ecliptic. The sun rotates 7 degrees off the ecliptic.
Okay.
So astronomers know that if the solar system formed naturally because of the conservation of angular momentum, it should all be rotating on the same plane. It's not. And also, if the sun condensed from a nebula, the nebular hypothesis, then the sun should have 99% of the spin of the solar system, and the planets only 1%, but the reality is the opposite. The sun is almost not spinning compared to the planet.
Okay, so here's what I need from you, Bob.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to remember that in that level of detail. I need you to send me an email at ross@khow.com with those two points.
Will do.
And then when I get these folks on the show, I will ask a solar physicist those questions, and we'll get you the answers. Thanks for the suggestion, Bob. Hey, I appreciate it. And let me just take a quick moment, as long as we're delving into philosophy. I'll respond to Bob, and you can call in for the rest of the show. Let me just respond briefly there to Bob. So this idea that there's a designer, and I realize a lot of people believe this, so I just want to make sure we're clear before I go any further.
And Fred, we cut that off abruptly, but he was about to say he is respectful to people who believe. Much of his audience does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat that he's respectful. Then you can have good conversations.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you presented the evidence in that call wonderfully. Very good.
Thank you. Excellent. It was really fun to be able to do that. And just really a few pieces of evidence for God as a creator and why the atheistic model has failed.
I wonder if he'll come through with getting a physicist
on
there. I don't know.
He asked for an email. I sent the email. That whole email is online right now. You can see that. Go to our website, kgov.com, Ross, if you want to, and you'll see my response to that request. So, Fred, we're about out of time. Why don't we do the next couple news items? In fact, next week, you'll be on assignment, right?
I will be
for
on assignment.
Real Science Radio. So that means that, well, I might have to go solo. As long as Jamie could be here to work the board, we should be able to pull it off. So we'll continue the science news reports RSR style, because that's our style.
That sounds good, Bob.
To show that,
yeah, because we still got to talk about that Triceratops
in Thornton
locally.
They're digging up, and our updated section on polystrate fossils That's really cool.
Yeah, and next week, maybe these scientists that you emailed about that Triceratops will have responded. The chief scientist, the chief paleontologist, you email them a really thoughtful email.
Yeah, maybe I'll read that on the show next week. Yep. And then maybe Ross Kaminsky by then from KHAL Radio.
That'd be great.
We'll have responded. And
you can slaughter him again.
Oh, no, it was just a conversation, but boy, wouldn't that be fun. Okay, so Fred, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. And again, this is Telethon Month, so really, yes, we need your help.
So I'll give you our phone number and the website. Phone number, 800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to the website, rsr.org, and click on the store.
And Bob Debates the Stars. You get this DVD for free if you donate 100 or more or sign up for the monthly subscription.
It has all my appearances, and may God have mercy on
you. Yeah, all these really liberal Hollywood people ganging up on one conservative.
Some of it was rough, you know. Some of it was really rough, but some of it was just classic moments.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you get to see, you know, a Christian face off with Bill Maher on ABC, Jimmy Kimmel, Larry Flint, so gross. Wow. Martin Short, Donnie Osmond, so many others. So Bob Debates the Stars, that's a gift to anyone who contributes $100 or more to our telethon or who subscribes to any of the monthly subscriptions. Just go to the store, check them out, and pick the one you'd
and
like.
You won't find this DVD anywhere but in this studio.
Absolutely right. So, all right. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
And Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.